Route 1. For the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission earlier this week received copies of an exhibit booklet prepared by the applicants. That exhibit booklet shows proposed findings of fact, also shows proposed conditions of approval if the use were to be approved, and has a series of exhibits, Chamber of Commerce support letter, several aerial photographs, a USGS quadrangle map overlay, preliminary site plan, an existing conditions topographic survey, a copy of the application, a copy of DLDOT support facilities report, a DLDOT letter of no objection, a Town of Fenwick Island letter of no objection, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers no permit required leter, and a JCMECI environmental report. That is a part of the record. The commissioners all have copies. And as I said, this is a part of the record. For the benefit of the commission, I'm going to pass down copies of the site plan for this application on a larger scale than what's in the booklet, just to make it easier to review. I have a couple agency comments. First one, is a copy of the letters and the support facilities report, which is already a part of the record. Next one, and Mr. Schrader, the copy for your file. Came in at 4:30. Received a letter this afternoon from the Office of Sussex County Engineering Utility Planning Division in reference to this application. The site is located within a county-operated maintained sanitary sewer district, which is the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. It is not known if wastewater capacity is available for this project. There are system connection charge credits for this parcel equaling 3.83 EDUs. The current system connection charge rate is $4,365 per EDU for the period through June 30th of 2008. There is 1 6-inch lateral provided for each of the parcels. A single 6-inch lateral may not be adequate for the proposed use. County Engineering Department would like to reserve the right to future comment once the Engineering Department has received detailed plans for the project and determined the capacity required to serve the project, and a concept plan is required. That was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. We received several letters in opposition to this application. I'm not going to try to read them all or even summarize them all because they're somewhat lengthy. I will reference the names and I will pass them down to the commission for review as the public hearing progresses. We heard letters of opposition from David Hall, Margaret Steele, Blind Lesniewski. I apologize if I said that wrong. It's from reference on letterhead of Surf and Edge, or Surf Edge Deli and Pizzeria. Betsy Mitchell with an attached references to several businesses. The Fenwick Crab House signed by Scott Formwalt. And Melanie McKnight, it appears to be. I can't quite make it out. And then we had a booklet that came in requesting denial. It has a letters received, it's a 3-page letter, and that's signed by V.M. Hall, and it includes photographs and explanation of each photograph. There's a series of ...24 photographs with explanation. I'll pass that all those down to the commission for review as we progress with the meeting. And that's all I have at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. I know there are some of you here with an interest in this this project this evening from the public. I want to point out to you that this board here is facing you. However, if you can't read it, you want to get up and take a closer look at it, feel free to do so, as long as you do so quietly. We really can't have any, a lot of discussion, but if you want to get up and take a closer look, feel free to do so. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney from Georgetown, and I represent the interests of the applicant in this matter, which is Dansk LLC. I have with me this evening Ken Cressenberry, who is a professional engineer from Axiom Engineering, who is the design professional who has worked on this project, and I have also with me Tor Anderson, who is a principal of Dansk LLC. I don't think I need to go through the booklet with you. As books go, this is a comparatively simple exhibit package that we have provided to you. There have been one or two additions to the package of materials that came in today from other sources than us that will require your review, I'm sure. But everything that you would normally expect to see in one of these books is in existence. Let me review with you, if you will, please, the application. The property itself is a site located in Baltimore 100 on the north side of Route 54, at or near the intersection of Route 1 and west of Virginia Avenue. The site for the proposed use is 1.32 acres and is currently located in a G1 general commercial district. This is of some significance for two reasons. One of them, as we all know, the C1 district is now closed and has been replaced by the CR1 district. And secondly, if you're familiar with bungee jumping at all, many years ago, as a result of the bungee jumping experiences that were in Sussex County on Route 1, it became necessary to amend the C1 ordinance in order to regulate outdoor recreational activities. As a result of that effort, other outdoor activities such as water slides, miniature golf courses, and what have you were brought into the fold for certain conditional use type applications. That is of some significance because this particular use, that is the water slide, and perhaps many of the other recreational uses around this site are not new facilities, they are old facilities that have existed in all likelihood before that change in the law. The site that we're dealing with tonight is a site that's currently occupied by a water park, and it does have 18 parking places lined out on it in connection with the water park that is currently there. What we're asking for this evening is a conditional use for two things. One of them is for the renovation of the water park, which will be described both by Mr. Anderson and by Ken as we go through the evening. And we're also talking about the addition of a miniature golf course on a portion of the site. And in addition to those two things, it also should be noted in the letters of opposition, there will probably be a fair amount of discussion about parking. The 18 parking places that are on site will be replaced by 39 parking places. As things go with the land use plan and with the state strategies for spending map, this is in a municipal commercial area where commercial uses are encouraged under our current comprehensive plan for Sussex County. It's in a level one area under the state strategies map. We have filed with you copies of the applications, reports, and what have you that there would be required by you. I would note that the streets that are adjacent to this property are public streets. There is sanitary waste disposal available through Sussex County Engineering Department. There is an on-site well which provides for the water necessary in order to run this park. There are no delineated wetlands on the map, and of course we have submitted any number of aerial and location maps that will help you understand how the development of this particular site would take place. With that background in mind, I would like to call Mr. Cressenberry to the stand and let him do some of the technical work that's required for this application.
Very well.
And if you will, Ken, will you identify yourself for the benefit of the record?
Good evening. Ken Cressenberry with Axiom Engineering, Georgetown, Delaware. I am a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware.
And have you participated in the design of this project?
Yes, I've been involved in the site planning. The actual technical guts of the water slide itself and the mini golf itself have been sent out to specialists, but the compliance with county code has been my responsibility.
Okay. If you could, please, can you describe for the benefit of the commission what the surrounding areas look like?
The surrounding area, if you look in the aerial photographs, I'm sure most of you gentlemen are probably intimately familiar with the area already, but the aerial photographs show you it's a densely developed area that is largely commercial already and is surrounded by fairly high density residential as well.
And can you describe this particular site as it exists today?
What you have today is, as you can see from the survey, you have an existing water park. There is 18 paved parking spaces adjacent to that water park and on the same parcel. There is an overflow gravel parking area that would allow for about 15 additional parking spaces that has not been experiencing maximum capacity, but that is what exists in the field today. The water park includes two tall slides and a variety of smaller slides for younger children.
Okay. Now, we were here tonight for proposed new uses of this site, starting with the water slide or water park. What's being proposed for this site at the water as a part of the water park application?
The two very large, tall slides that are out there now are going to be replaced with slightly taller, much more modern slides. There's also going to be an additional kiddie slide added to try to give, right in that area in there, to give small children a way to be separated from larger patrons, basically for safety.
And what is the total number of slides that are on site now?
There are the two large slides and four children's slides.
And if this application were to be approved, it would be three large slides?
No, two large slides. And two new kiddie slides.
There is also a landing area pool, I assume, for these water slides. Where is that landing area pool located currently, and what will be changed about it?
If you look on the site plan, right immediately adjacent to the main building, the pool is located just to the north.
If you want to, I think you can walk up there as long as you talk really loud.
The current main building is right here, and the current landing pool is right here. The current towers are over here. And your survey in your packet does show you that existing facility. The tower is being moved further away from the residential areas that are over here, and the landing pool is being moved closer.
And there is a design schematic in the package that will show that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as far as the landing pool is concerned, will it be larger when this project, if this project is approved and if it is built?
Yes, it will. Because of the additional kiddie slides, it's wider, so there is a larger volume.
Excuse me just for a second. Ladies and gentlemen in the public, did you see what and understand what he was talking about? Because he was pointing over here. We could see it. I don't think you could. Mr. Christianberry, would you mind just taking a minute and show the folks what you were just telling us?
The existing tower is located approximately right here, and it's going to be relocated over here much closer to Virginia Avenue. The existing landing pool is currently right about here, very close to where the park entrance is, and it's going to be located closer to the residential areas where the screening that's being provided, both in the form of privacy fencing and even some of the golf course,
thank you. I just wanted to make sure they had the opportunity to see that. Excuse me. Go ahead.
As far as the adjacent properties are, well, let me go back for a minute. I forgot something that's important here. We're also asking for a miniature golf course. Is that correct?
Yes.
And where would that miniature golf course be located?
The miniature golf course starts adjacent to...
See, if you point over there...
You'll point over there?
Thank you, gentlemen. Teamwork. Teamwork.
The mini golf course starts adjacent to Route 54 and then wraps around the existing water park and is adjacent to the lands that are zoned GR right here that also have frontage on Route 54.
For the record, that Mr. Christianberry has a laser pointer. I have a number two pencil with a rubber tip.
Old school.
That's in the engineering degree.
Well, Mr. Schrader, if you save your money, I'm sure you can probably come up with one of those.
My kids use it to play with the cats. This miniature golf course that would be added would take up about how much of the land that's available in the 1.32 acres?
I haven't calculated exactly, but probably about less than half an acre.
And if the miniature golf course were to be approved, it will go in a site where the existing parking is located on the site. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, you do have neighbors that are adjacent to this particular 1.32-acre site. First off, there are commercial neighbors. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Are any of the commercial neighbors immediately adjacent to this proposed site?
Their parking facilities are.
But not the actual business uses themselves?
No.
There are residential properties that are immediately adjacent to this site, correct?
Correct.
Okay. As far as these residential properties are concerned, what will be going into this design that will help protect the neighbors from light, noise, sound, what have you, other nuisances that may be perceived from the site?
The existing splash pool has some privacy fencing between it and the neighbors, and that is going to be replaced with privacy fencing running around the perimeter of the project. The mini golf course itself will act as a buffer, because I believe when I've taken my kids both mini golfing and water park sliding, that water park is probably a little bit louder than a mini golf would be. So the mini golf will now be kind of a buffer between the water park area and the adjacent residential.
Okay, how about lighting?
Lighting will be directed down and into the site so that it doesn't spill over into adjacent properties. It'll be directed onto the golf course.
Is there any vegetative landscaping that will go around the site?
When we bring in a site plan for a planning commission review, we will have a landscape plan to indicate what kind of vegetative buffers are provided as we finalize the golf course design.
And what purpose will that vegetative buffering serve?
That would be to buffer both parties. I think it's in the best interest of the golf course that the folks that are golfing there feel like they're on this Viking island, and the vegetation would give them a much better feel of that than seeing residential areas nearby.
Will it help control noise?
Absolutely.
And will it also help keep patrons of the miniature golf course and the water park on the water park and miniature golf course?
I think the privacy fencing would probably accomplish that for the most part, but the vegetation certainly could help.
I'm assuming, without really knowing, that this is a water-intensive use. Is that correct for the water slide?
Yes, it is. The existing park is a water-intensive use.
And it will be even more so if this were approved?
It would be a little larger.
First off, describe where the water source is for this particular project.
It is a private well today.
And it's an on-site well?
Correct.
And the water that is generated on site is used for the water slides and for the landing pool?
Correct.
Okay. Is that water recycled? Is it cleaned? Is it discharged into the county engineering
department? They do backwash once a day.
Okay. What is the quantity of that backwash, if you know?
Less than 1,000 gallons per day is a good estimate.
And it currently is connected to the county engineer, or excuse me, the county's wastewater treatment facilities in Fenwick Island?
Correct.
And there have been no problems to the best of your knowledge?
None that my clients have been advised of.
Is there an adequate water supply for any increased use on this property?
They may have to increase the size of the well, and in the event that a larger well was inadequate, they are within reach of Artesian Water's central water supply.
Obviously, I've had the opportunity to read some of the letters that have been received into the file concerning some of the objections, and one of the most significant objections is a matter of parking.
Yes.
So what I'd like for you to describe the existing parking on this site and how it's functioning right now.
Okay. The existing parking consists of, you gentlemen can reference the survey, and I'll go ahead and show over there. Existing parking consists of about 18 paved parking spaces and an overflow gravel area that could accommodate about 15 additional cars within the gravel area. The proposed parking would allow for 39 parking spaces on the site plan that you have before you. The applicants have not had to enforce towing on any of their lots, even though they do have good reason to believe folks who are using and visiting other businesses may be parking on their lots, because they've simply not hit capacity at any kind of regular interval. The water park and the golf course have opposite peak hours of operation. The early afternoon is when the water park peaks, and their policy has been and will remain to sell 1, 2, and 4 hour passes, which means by the early evening, folks are being directed to leave if they came in the early afternoon. The mini golf tends to peak after 8 p.m., which is when the water park is actually closed.
Is there a service area that goes with this particular project?
What do you mean by service area?
Is there an area where there would be snack food served or sold or anything like that?
I think on the actual site itself, no, but within walking distance across the street on other properties.
And are there any wetlands on this site?
We had that investigated by JCM Environmental. The report was referenced by Mr. Lank. I'll just direct you to two sentences that I think are very important in that report. As you gentlemen are probably aware, but the crowd may not be, there are three requirements in order for a piece of property to qualify as a federal wetland. That is the soils, the water table, and the vegetation. The very second last paragraph in JCM Environmental's letter states the 10YR32 clayey sands observed in the area of the depression do not meet the hydric soil criteria, and therefore the soil and small shallow depression would not be federally regulated. This report was submitted to the Department of the Army, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, who regulates the enforcement of wetland regulations on behalf of the EPA. Their January 30th, 2006 letter states, based on the information you have provided, it has been determined that the subject parcel does not contain navigable waters of the United States or waters of the United States. Consequently, development of the property will not require the authorization of the Corps of Engineers.
And this is also wetlands that would not be, if it were wetlands, it would not be subject to state regulations.
That's correct, because the state only regulates tidally influenced wetlands, and there's no basis for any belief that this land is tidally influenced.
In terms of the site development, Mr. Christenberry, there was or is on the site right now some sort of issues relating to fencing, travelway, walking up and down the adjacent streets. Will that be alleviated in any way by the proposed new site plan?
Absolutely. There's actually two issues that get solved at the same time by the proposed site plan. The current site has parking right along Route 54, and the entrance to that parking...
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to ask you to stand a little bit closer to the microphone, because I think folks are having a little trouble hearing you.
I apologize. The current parking is right off of Route 54, and the entrance is only about 50 feet from Route 54, which means that cars trying to turn left or right into Virginia Avenue and then trying to go into the parking lot are very quickly going to back up into Route 54. The proposed parking has been pushed 250 feet away from Route 54 so that a dozen cars could pull off 54 and all be waiting to get into this parking lot and not create any congestion on Route 54. This design was presented to the Delaware Department of Transportation and to the town of Fenwick Island, and both parties have written letters that are in your packet that indicates that they certainly believe this is a superior design. In addition to that, currently, from the existing parking lot, patrons can walk along the street. There's no sidewalk, there's no fencing, there's no curbing. So you've got a chain link fence and then asphalt where the distinction between what's private property and what's a town road is completely unclear. So as vehicles are coming up and down there and pedestrians are there, there's a point of conflict. And there's about a 75-foot long fence. I do have a photograph. I didn't submit it early enough to be a part of the record. If anyone would care to see it, I'd be more than happy to share it, showing how it's very easy for pedestrians and cars to kind of mix up where it is safe to go. The new site plan indicates that there will be a boardwalk-style sidewalk from the new rear parking lot all the way down to the park's entrance, and that'll be separated from traffic by a split-rail fence, making it very clear for vehicles and pedestrians where it is safe for them to travel.
As to the new proposed parking lot, that will be a paved parking lot?
We are probably going to use geoblock porous pavement or some other type of porous pavement to minimize the amount of runoff that's created by the site.
If you don't mind, maybe it would be appropriate for you to describe what a geoblock parking lot is.
And certainly.
Maybe something our friends from Fenwick Island.
There are several different kinds of permeable pavement that are out there. The one that I'm probably going to propose and discuss during our preliminary plans would be geoblock porous pavement. It's a rigid plastic cell that will support the weight of a vehicle and yet protect grass that's there. This prevents the need to put down asphalt and keeps the runoff that's generated by the property down, attempting to mimic the way things are now by not creating additional impervious surfaces.
And it will look like a grassed area?
That's the intent at this point.
Now, will each of the parking spaces be delineated?
Yes, there'll be a concrete bumper across the front of each one so that people know where they should and shouldn't park.
And the parking sign? size of each parking space will be in compliance with the county code?
Absolutely.
And will there be handicap parking?
There are two spaces shown on that site plan which complies with federal guidelines for the ADA. Although ADA guidelines for a water slide could be a little interesting to see the need for, but they are there.
To the extent that there is any water runoff from this particular parking lot, will there be a way to discharge that water into an area that's not into the adjacent neighborhoods?
Yes, there is a swale running along Route 54, and of course, we will have to prepare a sediment and stormwater control plan that will be permitted through the Sussex Conservation District, and they have regulations regarding discharge for the 2- and 10-year storm matching the pre-development condition.
That's all I have for Mr. Christenberry at this point in time. I'd like to put one of the owners on, and then we'll come back and we'll all make ourselves available for any interrogation that needs to be the chair. Mr. Anderson? If you will, please, will you identify yourself for the commission?
Yep. It's Tor Anderson. I reside at 11004 Trap Creek Road in Berlin, Maryland.
And you have an interest in a company known as Danske LLC?
That's correct. I'm a property owner.
And is Danske one of the owners, operators of the project that we're talking about this evening?
That's correct.
And how long have you all been in the business?
Since 1987. We purchased the water park in 1987.
And it's been in continual existence since 1987, or was it in existence before then?
It was in existence before then. Before then, it consisted just of the two flume slides and a ticket hut, and I believe the slides were actually installed in 1977.
This water park is open how many months of the year?
Three. It's got a very defined season, which is Memorial Weekend through Labor Day weekend.
Are you ever open before Memorial Day or after Labor Day?
No.
Are you ever open on weekends only at any time during this period that you're open?
Not pre-season or post-season.
Are you open 7 days a week?
We really don't get going with the season until mid-June. We wait for the weather to warm up, for starters, and we also rely on the school kids to get out of school. And so that really doesn't start until the first, or I should say the second or third week in June.
And I'm going to assume out loud that the weather we've been having the last 8 to 10 days is good for the business that you're in?
We certainly appreciate it. It helps make up for the June.
And that's the kind of weather that you need for your peak business, is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you have times of the week or times of the day when you have more activity on your sites than other times?
The water park really gets going, I would say, around 11 o'clock. It peaks maybe around noon, and then the park starts dwindling, I'd say, about 4 p.m. And by 6 p.m., it's just basically stragglers that are in the park.
Do you close the park at some time during?
We will if the weather's inclement. Basically there are customers around, and that's what happens in the beginning of June and during the weekdays in June. We close the park. We close oftentimes before 8 o'clock, whether it be weather related or it gets cold or there just aren't customers to show up.
But for the water park itself, the longest you will stay open is 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm. 8 p.m., that's correct.
On any day?
On any day.
No matter how hot it is?
That's correct.
Now, in terms of where you are with the miniature golf course, is there a period of time that you're open during the calendar year for the miniature golf course business? What are the months or year that you have that open?
If approved, we would have the golf course open probably starting April to May, and it would shut down probably by the end of September, October.
And will you be open 7 days a week with them?
No. The full time for the golf course will be strictly during the summer months once again. There just isn't a customer base for it in the pre and post season.
And the period of time that you're looking for the miniature golf course is again mid-June through Labor Day, is that correct?
I would say, based on what we know of our existing golf course, which is Viking Golf, and we have some 23 years experience now, that 85% of our volume will take place on the proposed golf site between July and August, or through July through August, basically. The residual 15% occurs in the pre and post seasons, and then in June as well.
Do you have normal hours of operation for the miniature golf business that are different than those that you have for the water slide?
Yes. The miniature golf course would be open from 10 to midnight when we are busy, and again, that would be July and August for sure. In the pre and post season, we're probably pushing it if we're open till 10 o'clock at night, all weather dependent.
You described a minute ago that with the water slide, there's a peak that hits around noon for the water slide. Is there a peak for miniature golf?
The peak for miniature golf occurs after dinner, and So I would say that the majority of our business, and again, I would say 85% of our daily business occurs from 7 to 8 o'clock at night until 10, 11 o'clock at night.
And that's in regard to the miniature golf
course? Miniature golf course, yeah.
Is there ever a time during the season or a time during the week or a time during a particular day when you have the peak miniature golf and the peak water slide occur simultaneously?
No, they are really, they have been such a good complement for our existing business. We have an existing business right now, which is Viking Golf and go-karts, and they have been a good fit for us, because if the weather is cold, the water park does nothing, but the golf picks up, the go-karts pick up, and vice versa. So what we're looking for here is, again, that complementary fit where the water park is a daytime activity, so it peaks, it gets busy in the daytime, especially if warm, but then it winds down and people just don't golf during the daytime. It's too hot, or they're at the beach, or they're at the water park or whatever, and then they come to the golf and go-karts at nighttime.
Is there a time during the day when there is a minimal amount of activity at both places that occurs at the same time?
Well, rain doesn't help. Rain is the worst weather for us. We don't get any customers in rainy times. But other than that, again, it's a very complementary business. You know, when one peaks, the other doesn't.
One of the issues that was raised by one of the letters that was written to the commission had something to do with the noise that may emanate from this site. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions in that regard. First off, you have an existing water park at this location. Is it noisy?
We have actually, I think in the 20 some years that we have been in business, we have received a complaint about the music that we would pipe into our water park. And we have since reduced that music noise level wise, and we have not received a complaint since then. And I think that complaint was registered some 10 or 15 years ago, and we have not heard anything since. In fact, we're in regular contact with our neighbors and that particular person, and he has no complaints.
You do have piped in music at your water park, is that correct?
That's correct.
And the proposed miniature golf course, will that have piped in music?
No.
Sorry, go ahead.
So as I understand it, at least correct me if I'm wrong, for the activities that would take place on this site at the later end of the day, that would be from 7 o'clock on until midnight, does not include any piped in music from the miniature golf.
That's right.
Okay. Now, one of the things that was in the letter is that children or other people using the water slide make noise. I suppose they act happy. Have you ever had any complaints about that during the course of the operation of this business?
I have not heard any complaints. It's interesting. I had one of our neighbors come up to the park the other day because she, you know, knew about the water park application, and she told me that they're for it, that they were actually quite amazed over the years how few shouts and screams they hear from the water park tower where it is right now. And one of the things that we have tried to do in this new layout to replace those old towers the old tower and the old slides, is to remove that tower, which when it was heard, we're removing that even farther away from where it is right now so that we, you know, are working with the neighbors.
One of the principal complaints that seems to be a theme through the letters of opposition is parking, so I need to ask you about what you know about the history of parking in and about this area of unincorporated Fenimore Colony. So first things first, you have other business interests in this area, is that correct?
That's right. We have, like I mentioned, the Viking golf course and the go-kart track.
And if my recollection serves me right, there are other commercial activities of other persons on other properties that are also in the immediate vicinity, is that
That's
fair?
Correct, right. We.
And if I also am correct from my visit to the site, most of the parking is not on Route 1 or on Route 54, but it's behind all of the commercial facilities except the village. Would that be
accurate
also?
Yes.
In the course of years, you have developed this second water park there, and you have, I think, 18 parking places that Ken described in some other areas that are not marked off for parking. Have you ever had problem with the adequacy of your parking to serve your facilities?
We have never had a parking issue. In the 20 years that we have been in business at the water park, I personally know of only one towing incident that took place at the commercial neighbor's parking lot adjacent to the water park, and that can simply be explained by our customer not knowing where to park. We have not had signage up indicating where our parking lot in particular is. That customer, I believe, parked there because it was convenient. We have always had kind of an open door policy as far as parking is concerned at our facility. We don't enforce towing. I know that we have a number of our business customers that park in our facility. We have beachgoers that park in our facility. We have Fisher's Popcorn customers that have now moved that still park in our facility. We have ample parking to the point where we don't need to tow at this point in time. We can certainly provide signage in the future, so you know, if it does become an issue, people are not parking in our neighbor's commercial business.
If I come to your place now and want to use the water park and then decide I need to go over to Route 1 to one of any commercial establishments, you don't ask me to move my car, is that correct?
That's correct, and of course, you know, we're hoping that you will stop by our food shops or maybe play a miniature golf course on your way back.
And similarly, if I go to one of the commercial establishments on Route 1, would it make you feel better if I came over and played a round of golf on the way to the water slide?
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
There is no clear defined commercial area in Fenwick Island other than this particular area, is there?
Yeah. Nothing with the kind of entertainment that we provide.
And there is another miniature golf course across the street.
That's correct, yes. There is golf down under across the street from Viking Golf.
And at least a question I asked you earlier today, and that is, how many miniature golf courses do you really need at this intersection?
Well, we have a pretty congested golf course right now, and that is, you know, part of the reason we would like to build this proposed miniature golf course so we can alleviate that congestion. And we have been doing this the golf course was opened in 1984, so that's 23, 24 some years now. And we know that there is a need for another miniature golf course to handle the interest and the desire that customers are showing us on our golf course, not to mention across the street, which is also pretty busy.
Isn't there also another golf course down the street a couple more blocks towards Ocean City?
That's correct, and that is also busy.
And they also have the same situation.
Right.
Why do you need to renovate or remodel your water slide park?
The water slide tower and the slides are, they do date back to the late 70s. So it is one thing that we have not renovated in the 20 years that we have been in business. It is just time to upgrade them. We need to provide more contemporary and more aesthetic slides.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mr. Anderson to stand down for a minute while I'll make a couple concluding remarks, and then we're all ready to roll when you are. Gentlemen, I think that, as you are keenly aware, and I'm keenly aware, this is a previously existing water park recreational facility. It is in a commercial district that has evolved at the intersection of Route 54 and Route 1 over a long period of time. There is no boardwalk, as Mr. Anderson has said, at this particular intersection, so you can't compare it with Bethany Beach or with the Ocean City Inlet or with Rehoboth Beach, where there's another boardwalk. It's an area where there is recreation, there's food, there's shopping. In my opinion, I would guess that there is probably some form of symbiotic relationship between all the commercial activities located at this area, as Mr. Anderson has described. You may go and buy some taffy, get a t-shirt, play golf. You may go to the water park, ride a go-kart. This is where you do it if you're in the Fenwick Island area, because this is where it has evolved simply by a human conduct over the course of years. There are, in your package of materials that you received from the director, six letters that are in opposition, one of which is from Mr. Hall, which primarily relates to matters relating to the traffic at 54 Virginia Avenue, Maryland Avenue, and Route 1. And as has been indicated by Mr. Christenberry, we're trying to move the intersection of the parking lot away from that intersection and bring it back up from the street so that there won't be any keying of cars at that location. You also have a letter from Ms. McKnight that restates the same thing, saying that she has noticed that since the park added the pool, lots of children and families go to the site that there is running across the street. I think we have tried to explain to you that we're going to try to change that by having a segregated sidewalk. And I note with some interest that she indicates that lots of children are laughing and screaming as they go down the slide. I don't know how we can ever possibly control that. We also have a letter from, I believe, all of the tenants at the Fenwick Center. It appears as if five of the owners of the Fenwick Center have signed the letter, as have five tenants. One of the tenants, Surf's Edge, has separately written a letter addressing the parking issue, as does the petition that's signed by the five tenants. But I do want to point out something that may be of some interest in the Fornwalt household tonight. And that is that Scott Fornwalt, one of the owners of the Fenwick Crab House, has written a letter stating, quote, the current parking is more than adequate for their current needs, and there has been no parking conflicts as of late. And I note with interest that Mrs. Cornwalt has signed a petition indicating that there is, and I hope that they're able to amiably resolve that difficulty. We have provided the commission, as we always do, proposed findings of fact and conditions, which hopefully will give the commission a basis for its thought processing and perhaps a resolution in favor of this application. As you're aware, the summary of the law that quickly is involved in this is that the rigid application law does not work for full protection of the public, but by having a conditional use, a desirable public or semi-public use, something that's convenient for the citizens of Sussex County, can be permitted. It does relate to the land use plan and the state strategy map. The impact on the neighborhood will be essentially the same as it was before, and that by the use of your planning judgment and the opportunity to attach conditions as a conditional use, you will have the opportunity to control if you feel there are actions that are going to take place on the site that are not amenable with other activities in surrounding areas through those conditions. So with those happy thoughts in mind, Mr. Chairman, we're all available to take whatever questions you may have for us.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do think I'm getting a better understanding of the application. I'm very interested in hearing what the public has to say. I do have some questions. I've not been able to, not had the opportunity to read these letters that have come in, as Mr. Schrader has. But with those questions, At the beginning of this public hearing, Mr. Lank referenced a letter from County Engineering about a sewer concept plan required. Would you elaborate on that for me, please?
I'm going to have Mr. Christenberry do that, if you will, please.
Well, actually, having just seen this, you know, 20 minutes ago, let's see here, what is it? I don't believe that a concept plan is required because we're already in the sewer district. What we will need to do is provide.
Required.
A concept is required. Where's the?
I can ask another question while Mr. Christenberry.
No problem.
Use that if you'd like. How'd you calculate the number of parking spaces?
Mr. Christenberry will have to answer and read at the same time, Mr. Smith.
We'll find.
Let's see here. Okay.
I'll take concept this one. You required. Take the parking question.
I found it. It's at the bottom. It says a concept plan is required. For the wastewater, a concept plan is typically done just to show how a property is going to be connected to a wastewater system. The letter also notes that there's already 2 6-inch laterals that are provided towards the property, one of which is already in use on the existing property, and one I'm assuming that's directed toward the current property where the overflow parking is and where the golf course is proposed to go. The additional facilities will produce a little bit more backwash water from the pool facility, probably another couple hundred gallons a day. The additional employees from a mini golf will be one person in a ticket hut and probably one person in the kiddie slides that are being added, so perhaps two additional employees, and however many toilet flushes you may have from folks that would use the mini golf course is all that's proposed there.
And as noted by Mr. Christenberry, there is a concept plan required by this particular response by Mr. Ashman on behalf of the engineering department. It's currently connected to the county engineering or Pembroke Island Sanitary Sewer District, so it's difficult to tell whether or not at this time, without actually having done the engineering, how much more wastewater would actually go into this system.
So I guess an answer to my question then, a concept plan will be required?
Yes.
The letter does say a concept plan is required.
Correct.
But we would run some calculations to determine the additional wastewater and see if the existing 6-inch line is sufficient.
I'm not being critical of the engineering department, but this is late getting here, and we have not had an opportunity to understand what is being said in it. And in particular, there is a reference to 3.83 system connection charge credits for the site. But at the same time, they're also telling us the credit charge rate is $4,000. The rest of the letter indicates that most of the information is unknown at this time. So I'm assuming that because there is a look at the fiscal side of this connection, there must not be any objection to the increased connection.
With that said, I'm guessing then that there'll be his and her sanitary facilities and maybe changing areas?
They already have them in the existing building, which is right there, and right there. There's a simple, it's a one toilet, one sink, lockable door, one male, one female, and those will remain. So I don't think any additional bathrooms are going to be added.
Mr. Smith, you had earlier asked a question about parking, which we have not answered. So if you'll let me go backwards for a minute, there are two things that I want to bring to your attention, and Ken, jump in if I'm wrong. First things first, for the miniature golf course, there has been one additional parking place added to the site for each hole of the golf course, which seems to be the national norm, so that you have 18-hole golf course, we have 18 holes for, or 18 parking places for the 18-hole miniature golf course. There are now been 21 additional marked parking places on the site for the water slide, which exceeds the 18 that are currently there for the water slide site that are marked on as, and then there is the overflow area also that currently exists, but which will not exist. So we're looking at creating 39 new parking places that will be marked and articulated, which is up from the 18 that are already marked on the site.
Thank you.
Thank you.
water park, is that subject to Board of Health inspections and record keeping?
Roy Anderson. We have the Delaware Health Department come inspect our site at least once every season.
Do you have Red Cross certified lifeguards?
Yes.
How close are you to ambulance services should someone have some type of injury?
Usually 5 minutes.
There is a Bethany Beach Fire Department substation in Pimlico.
That's correct, and there are medical facilities on 120th Street, which is about 20-30 blocks away from our site.
Mr. Christianberry referenced backwashing. What type of filtration system will be on the water park?
What type of filter system do you have on your?
It's a high rate sand filter.
And the discharge from that 1,000 gallons of backwash, where does that go?
Into a holding tank, and then it's discharged into the sewer system. And we're just talking about expanding the existing landing pool to a larger landing pool, which means in terms of discharge, once or twice a day is an additional 200 gallons of backwash into that sewer system.
So this holding tank is somewhat of a separation chamber, and then it goes into the
sewer system.
Into the sewer system.
And everything has to conform to Delaware Department of Health standards and codes, and they do.
So things such as air gap and
absolutely
backflow valves, things like that, flow, yep, flow meters, etc.
That's okay. All provided right now.
How close are you to the Ocean City bus line?
The bus line is on 143rd Street, and we are the equivalent of 149th Street.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that would be a easy walk for some of your customers that would use that as a way to reach your facility?
Absolutely.
Mr. Christianberry, your words were you said you would probably use geo-block pavers.
The county code requires for more than 10 spaces that a parking lot have bituminous surface. So I would need approval from you gentlemen. The first time it was used in the state of Delaware was at the Holiday Inn that I presented here in 1999. I know Mr. Wheatley would remember that. I'm not too sure any of the rest of you would. And it was approved there. It's been in use there for quite some time. And the only place where it looks like it's worn is where the neighbors of that site have decided to, I think it's either the liquor store or the crab house. People are just kind of busting through and driving on it willy-nilly, and that's the only place. Other than that, it's been holding up very well. But it would require a blessing from this body in the event that that were something that you gentlemen chose not to bless. We would look at other permeable pavement options. There is blacktopped permeable pavement, but the maintenance issues associated with that often lead to it not functioning anywhere nearly as well for reduction of runoff. There's also the stone porous pavers, which are behind the Walmart in Rehoboth, which do not offer as much of a runoff reduction as the grass pavers do. So ultimately, it'll be part of the permitting process that you gentlemen are a part of and that the Sussex Conservation District will review in terms of the stormwater management numbers.
Your opinion as an engineer, these geo-block pavers would reduce your stormwater management and be superior to?
The blacktop? Absolutely. Because what you end up with is a finished grass surface that has a rigid plastic matrix, if you will, that will support the weight of the vehicles. And beneath that, you have a stone bed, which, of course, has some void space for additional stormwater storage. But essentially, instead of having blacktop where 99% of your rainfall runs off and needs to go somewhere, now you have a surface where maybe 30% of your rainfall ends up needing to run off somewhere. So your ability to manage that runoff is greatly increased.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you if you would be so kind to, at the risk of redundancy, to go over your summation of the McCauley environmental letter that finding that you read again, just so I can get a... I can follow along, yes. I'd just like you to go over a little slower for the record, please.
I'd be glad to. Most of you gentlemen have probably at least heard of JCM ECI, which has, of course, changed their name to JCM Environmental, but it's Jim McCulley used to work for the Army Corps of Engineers. He's been in the environmental consulting business for over 15 years. He's very reputable, has a very good reputation.
Christian Berry, I'm going to ask you to speak up a little bit.
Be glad to. Sorry?
Actually, that microphone will pull out a little bit further.
It pulls it out.
I think so, doesn't it? Is that all she wrote?
I'm afraid I'm going to break it if I pull any harder, and that wouldn't be good.
That's good.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. JCM Environmental is a very reputable environmental firm in the area. Most of you gentlemen have probably seen things on their letterhead in similar packets. Mr. McCulley used to work for the Corps of Engineers. In order to determine if an area is subject to regulation under the federal code, three qualities have to exist on that piece of ground. One is the vegetation has to be what is facultative wetlands plants. The other is that the water table in that area needs to be at a certain level within 18 inches of the surface. And the third is that the soils have to be hydric soils. Hydric I'm not a soil scientist, so I'm not qualified to put an auger in the ground and tell you if something's hydric or not, but the folks at this establishment certainly are. They performed these analysis. They did a soil boring. They looked at the federally published maps, which copies have been included with their report. And if you look at the letter, the second to last paragraph states, based on the above, it is our professional opinion that the drainage swale and the small, shallow depression observed on the subject property at the time of the investigation appeared to result from uncontrolled surface water runoff from the adjacent properties. The 10YR32 clayey sands observed in the area of the depression do not meet hydric soil criteria, and therefore the swale and small shallow depression would not be federally regulated. If I had just simply had this report in this packet, I could certainly understand a great deal of hesitation about, well, what does that really mean? You've got a consultant who thinks this. But just prior to that report is the letter from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dated June 30th, 2006. And the fourth paragraph on the first page states, and it's you know, for them to put this in writing is something that I don't see too often, but based on the information you have provided, it has been determined that the subject parcel does not contain navigable waters of the United States or waters of the United States. Consequently, development of the property will not require the authorization of the Corps of Engineers. Their regulations do not apply to this piece of property in any way. The state also regulates wetlands, but they regulate wetlands that are tidally influenced, marshy areas that are adjacent to bays, things of that nature. And there's no evidence that that's the case in this location either. And if this information is presented to DNREC, I'm sure an additional letter can be provided. But that the reason they didn't submit it to them is because there's no way that their regulation would come into effect on this piece of property.
Thank you. Two last questions for Mr. Anderson, I believe it was. You just restate again how long this park has been in operation?
20 years.
20 years.
Well, actually, we've owned it for 20 years. It was in existence of probably 8 years prior to that.
And while I would realize that you would just be given an opinion, not an expert on this, with the exception of the vintage trailers, mobiles that would be in the area, would you guess that you're at least consistent or with your surroundings, that you've been in operation at least as long as the other area businesses and residences, with the exception of the vintage mobiles?
I believe so. We've been in business for really, if you consider the golf and the go-karts, we've been in business for 24 years now, and prior to that, we had these barns that were forming a retail center on that corner as well, and that goes back to 1980. So I would think that we've been around as long as anybody else has.
Yeah.
glad they're gone.
Do you ever have any security problems?
We
do
have.
Do you need a bouncer, anybody like that?
No. The only problems we have are in basically when the June bugs come down, we do see some vandalism on our golf course. You know, a sign disappears here or there, but other than that, we don't have any security problems.
It's not like you say you're having too much fun and you're going to have to leave or.
No, we don't sell alcohol on the premises, and nor do we intend to sell alcohol on the premises. And you know, once in a while there'll be somebody who may have had too much to drink and wants to ride the go-karts, but they're not allowed. And we have never had any fights on our premises. The water park has never seen any controversy either, or any incidents of that sort.
That's all.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Gordy?
No question at this time.
Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Schrader, math isn't always my strong point, despite my occupations, but could you again clarify for me this parking? It is scary. Would you clarify for me this the parking issue? Because as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, on the parcel where you're wanting to develop the golf course, you currently have overflow parking. Is that correct, or is that the 18?
Mr. Christenberry, take it this time.
Oh, is that the 18 parking spots you're talking about?
The 18 parking spots are the paved parking spaces that I'm assuming were part of an approved site plan, you know, 20-some years ago. I don't have those records. There is an overflow parking area that, based on what I've scaled off of the gravel that was picked up by the surveyor, could park approximately an additional 15 vehicles. But the operators of the park have not found that it's hitting capacity during any time.
But for clarification, for my sake, you have 18 paved parking spots now.
Correct.
What happens to those 18 parking spots?
They'll be replaced by this. That area becomes the mini golf course, and there's 39 parking spaces shown on the site plan.
So then by my addition and subtraction, it sounds like 21 additional parking spots.
Yes, essentially one
for
each.
Not 39 parking spots.
No, not 39 brand new ones. In terms of what's being added additionally, it's 39 total.
So am I correct in that what you're proposing is additional 21 parking spots that would provide for this additional water slide as well as the mini golf?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I also understand that there's currently a couple other businesses at least that are operated by the owner of the water park. And what parking is currently provided for those patrons? The Viking Golf and the go-karts.
There is parking associated with each of those businesses. I'll let Mr. Anderson answer that if you'd like.
Thank you.
We have a parking lot for the golf and go-karts that is separate from the water park. It is basically across the county road from the water park property.
So where's this parking lot located?
It's basically adjacent to the water park, but it's separated by a county road, and that's Virginia Avenue.
So Virginia Road cuts between the water park and your
Viking
golf and the go-kart.
Right.
The aerial photograph?
Right.
It may help a little.
Yeah, I saw it, and it's somewhat kind of fuzzy, but
yeah.
Those are your designated parking spots. That's not part of the Fimick Shopping Center.
That's right.
Okay. So, and how many spots are they?
There is, I think it's 28 to 30 spots, and then we have parking on Route 1 as well. And there is probably an additional, how many would you say? Probably 10 parking spots.
On Route 1?
On Route 1 as well.
We have approximately 38 parking spots then, if my math is correct, that's taking care of your go-karts and your mini-golf.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And what's your doing with your mini golf course that you currently have? How many people on average would you say are using that mini golf park?
Well, again, we have our evening business, which is when the miniature golf gets busy,
right,
as well as the go-kart. You're asking how many customers do I?
On average, would you have during those evening hours?
Now you're testing my math here. 18 times 4 is 40 plus 37, 2. I would say I would say between 80 and 120 customers.
So I'm hearing, and then I'm hearing, then I've heard testimony tonight then that your 38 parking spots have been accommodating those 80 to 120 patrons.
That's correct.
Plus whatever patrons would be showing up for your go-karts as well.
Right, which is, there's a great overlap there.
That's I'm clear now on that math part. In terms of your standing water or sitting water that you have on your on the lot that you're wanting to develop, am I correct that your stormwater management pond is being designed to handle that existing water as well as whatever additional water might occur from the additional parking that's being paved?
As with any project of this nature, we will have to get a permit through the Sussex Conservation District, and stormwater management will be an integral part of that. And that's why we wanted to address this early in the process, our desire to use some kind of alternative surface for the parking lot, because that will make it much more feasible to manage the runoff by simply creating less.
Okay. And no further questions this time.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Burton.
Couple. You mentioned that the towers are going to be taller. How much taller than the existing?
The existing towers are 25. About 25 feet. The platform of the new tower is 33 feet. The railing, and unfortunately when I put together the plan, the person who designed the water slides, who's in Florida, they told me a height of 33 feet. I thought they meant the maximum height, but that's actually the height of the platform. So by the time you add some railings, and if they were to add some kind of a sun canopy, it would be within the 42 feet that is allowed in a C1 commercial district. But the platform is intended to be 33 feet from grade, or 33 and a half, approximately.
Okay. The fence, the privacy fence, what does it look like?
We could use either wood slats or vinyl. We'd probably prefer the wood because the theme of the mini golf course is an island where Vikings were stranded, Skull Island, and a wooden fence is a little bit more believable. Than
wouldn't be able to see through it.
It'd be a privacy fence. Well, if you look at the site plan, and I don't know if you can tell on the scale of the reduction, we've identified three different kinds of fencing for the project. Around the perimeter adjacent to the residential areas, we've referenced a privacy fence that will probably be wooden. The area between the parking lot and the facility, the pool areas, will be chain link for security to separate those that are parking from those that have actually paid for admission. And then between the pedestrian boardwalk sidewalk and Virginia Avenue will be a split rail fence. So essentially you'll be walking between a chain link fence and a split rail fence coming from the parking lot to the park entrance.
Notice there's a walkway on the inside, which will get you to the ticketed area with the golf. What if you're going to cross 54?
Cross 54?
You're going to walk out of the park this way? That would enable you to cross 54 and go do whatever it's across the street over here?
Well, to be honest, we can take a look at the aerial photographs and think about what would be the most logical. I would think that from the area where the park entrance is, which is right there, I would probably cross over to the other parking lot areas there for the other facilities, and it'd be easier to get to 54. So I do have a photograph of what that area looks like today. It wasn't submitted 72 hours ago, so I don't know if you're interested in seeing it or not, but I think you'll probably agree if you see it that what we're proposing.
Yeah, is it a picture?
It's a photograph of what's there.
You can submit it.
Sure. You would have to walk down if you were leaving the existing parking lot and heading into the facility. So you can see the conflict between pedestrians and vehicles is crystal clear. You know, you're going to have people walking out in the road where they shouldn't, or you could have cars driving. area that's private and make it a small boardwalk and put a sports fence right on the property. But this will be in the other location. Now they're gonna be heading toward the back. This is what it looks like from the back right now. Of course, there's probably no pedestrian there because the back entrance is just kind of a service entrance to the dumpster.
But that walkway would only be for someone that entered the park from the back side.
Someone that
somebody's walking over from here, they're gonna walk down that same road.
It would probably be easier to walk in on the other facilities across Virginia Avenue. It would probably be a better pedestrian location. I don't know that we've got a great amount of, if you're requesting that we continue the boardwalk all the way down to the corner, I don't know if my clients would be opposed to that.
Perhaps speak to the mic.
I apologize.
Not picking you up.
If you're requesting that the boardwalk be continued all the way to the intersection of Virginia Avenue and Route 54, I don't know that my clients would be opposed to that. If you want to make that a condition, I don't think that's a major problem.
There's quite a bit of foot traffic right in that
sure.
area.
Well, Mr. Anderson, would you care to address that?
If I understand it correctly.
He's talking about extending the boardwalk
from where we're showing it now to the ticket hut. Could it be extended all the way to the intersection so that someone crossing 54 could walk on your boardwalk and not have to walk in traffic or cross at another location? Would that hinder the ability to get the golf course to work out of it?
It does bring in the question of how we control who's going onto the golf course without passing, buying tickets at the ticket hut. Our experience has shown that people basically they go down to the intersection of Route 1 and Route 54, and that's where they cross, because that's where you have the crossways. The other thing I'd be concerned about is that we have, we have certain space restrictions to put the 18 holes on, and that would certainly take away some of where hole number one is right now if we had to do that.
Okay. That leads me to a second question. Why the 10-foot strip? Why does the 10-foot strip stop midway on this going into the second site?
They have made some plans as far as how they want to improve Route 54, and we talked to them about having this mini golf here. They really don't need that area. So if you actually read the letter from DelDOT, it specifies which parcel requires a dedication and which one doesn't. It's something that we met with them about, discussed at great length, because we wanted to be able to get the golf course to fit. The intention in that whole area, the existing water park is not being removed on that end at all. The only thing being removed is the large towers at the other end, and to get the golf course to fit. So when we met with the department, they said that they could accept having that dedication there, especially since the mini golf in that area won't create a site distance issue. You'll be able to see right over that hole in terms of traffic.
The DelDOT letter actually shows it going all the way across both parcels.
I believe, Mr. Link, it only refers to one parcel.
Got it sitting right here, and it's got a purple line that runs off across both pieces.
Yeah, they have a plan marker?
Yeah, their markup, not mine.
Because there's two tax parcels that are referenced on the
property. No, but I'm saying if you look at the drawing attached to their letter, it's highlighted in purple, and it shows all the way across.
Is there a second letter from DelDOT dealing with parcel 54?
I have received one.
The language in the letter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you look at the right behind the service level evaluation, the April 30th, 2007 letter specifies that parcel 55 will have a 10-foot strip reserved for DelDOT road improvements.
I'm not questioning. I'm just saying the letter and the drawing don't agree.
Okay.
So, but it shows
that's not a drawing that I've
54 also in the drawing attached to the letter.
I don't know that I've seen that.
Prepared by DelDOT.
That's why I asked my question about parcel 54, because the letter from DelDOT clearly references parcel 55.
I agree, but I'm saying the drawing attached to it shows the line going all the way across both parcels and put dedication.
Well, that's something that's going to have to be resolved between the applicant and DelDOT.
It'll be, if the use is approved, then it's got to go back through DelDOT to get approval anyway.
Approved anyway, so that'll be something they'll have to work out if they get approved, so.
And you did state that there would be no music being pumped in on the golf course.
Yes, that's an acceptance.
Yes, we did say that.
No further questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Mr. Lang?
That was the same question. I was questioning on a question of regular.
Mr. Counts?
The only other question I have, the letter from Fenwick Island references a parking, a stop sign in the parking lot entrance.
We'll certainly add that.
Have no objection to adding that.
No, not at all.
That's all.
All right, sir. Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
Okay, gentlemen, we thank you. If you would kindly stand down for a few minutes, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1697 Dansk LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1697? Okay, is there a spokesperson or any attorney representing a group for the opposition at this point? All of you may speak. I'm just